dear Lord Chaitanya, please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than you within these three worlds? Your incarnation is just to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls. And I assure you that you will not find a greater fallen soul than me. Therefore, my claim is first. My dear Lord Nityananda, you are always joyful in spiritual bliss. Since you always appear very happy, I have come to you because I am unhappy. If you kindly put your glance over me, then I may also become happy. My dear Advaita Prabhu, husband of Sita, you are so kind. Please be merciful to me. If you are kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda will also be kind. O Swarup Damodar, personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya, O Six Goswamis, O Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami, O Lokanath Goswami, my beloved spiritual master, Nartam Das also prays for your mercy. O Srinivas Acharya, successor to the Six Goswamis, please be merciful to Narottam, always desires, Narottam Das always desires the company of Ramachandra Chakravarti. You know who that is?
It's one of his
Ramachandra was a disciple of Srinivas. Srinivas was the best friend of Narottam, and they were considered like the same, almost the same. When they met, it was like they were meeting themselves. They were waiting for each other. So Ramachandra Kaviraj was named, he was a great poet, and he was a disciple of Srinivas, but he was the best friend of Narottam, and always they were together. So Narottam is praying to Srinivas, don't take him away. You know, don't call him away or something. Let him always be with you. So should we do the Bhagavad Gita verse? We can talk more later.
What do you mean? Because
Narottam is so important. Prabhupada quotes him all the time. We sing every day Shri Guru Charna Padma. That's his song. And Haraya Arunama Krishna. That's another one. Nithai Pada Kamala. Koti Chandra Susi. Many of his songs are glorifying Lord Nityananda. And also Radha and Krishna. Very deep, not ordinary, you know, devotee. Special. Like when he traveled on his way to Vrindavan, it took him, he was trying to meet the Rupa and Sanatan, but it took him a long time to get to Vrindavan because every village would beg him to stay. He reminded them so much of Lord Chaitanya. And when he went to Navadvipa and everybody was, it says, just, they were like, we say in English, spaced out, just dull. They felt like no life. But when Narottam came, they all popped back to life. That they remembered Lord Chaitanya. He had such a personality. But by the time he got to Navadvipa, Lord Chaitanya already left. So he got to Puri. He got everywhere he went. He was looking for Rupa and Sanatana, and they just left just before he got there. So he had these intense feelings of separation. So he wrote that song, Jaya Nilo Premadana. Acharya Thakur, I'll beat my head against the rocks, you know, where have they gone, where have all these great devotees gone, I don't get their association. And he's saying he's the most fallen. Prabhupada says when these great devotees say I'm the most fallen, they really feel that way. Sometimes people say, well, how can they, you know, think they're fallen? That's their advanced position. They know how great Krishna is. And so they feel like I'm not a good devotee. That's a sign of great advancement. We might say that I'm the most fallen. Like one of my godbrothers said that. He had a close relationship with Prabhupada, and in Vrindavan he would stand by the gate when Prabhupada came back from the morning walk and try to say something you know, to please Prabhupada. So one day he said, "Oh, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen." Prabhupada said, "You're not the most anything." Not the most, you know. But Narottam really felt that way. That this Rupa and Sanatan too, when they met Lord Chaitanya, they were saying the same thing. "No one more fallen than us. You saved Jagai Madai, but that was easy. They were Brahmins by birth, and you know, we're much worse than them." And Lord Chaitanya picked them up and said, "No, this is embarrassing, don't talk like that." So we should, this song is all begging for mercy from everybody. Begging for mercy of the Lord. To get the mercy of Chaitanya, we need Nityananda. Prabhupada, when he installed Gaur Nithai in Los Angeles, he was very happy. And then he said, our goal is to enter the Ras Leela and become associates of Radha and Krishna. But in order to get to Radha and Krishna, we need Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And he said, to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And he said, in order to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we need the mercy of Jagai and Madai. So I took that to mean we should go out and preach to all the Jagais and Madais. In that lecture he said, because he's talking about Lord Nityananda and he saved Jagai and Madai, he said, then there was only two Jagai and Madai. And now everyone is. He said, "I'm not bragging, but my disciples were all Jagai and Madai." But Lord Nityananda saved everyone. So Narottam, so many, you know, things, his life is so great. But we'll do this verse first. About 2:32. A few people have books. I have toys. We say thank you to so many. I would also thank Steve Jobs for giving me all these things where I can easily read them. Books, I need glasses. Of course, we need a machine for this. This you can always just make it bigger. Yadrich Chaya Chopapanam Swargadwaram Pavitam Sukina Chatriya Parta Lavante Yudam Yidrisham Yajuchaya Chopapanam Swargadwaram Apavritam Sukhina Chatriya Parta Labhante Yudam Idrisham Yadrichaya Chopapanam Swargadwaram Apavritam Sukhina Chatriya Parta Lavante Yad Yudam Idrisham. Okay, someone else.
Yadichaya Chopapannam Svargadwaram Apavrutam Sukhina Kshatriya Partha Labhante Yudam Idrisham. Yadruchaya Chopapannam Swargadwaram Apavrutam Sukhina Kshatriya Partha Labhante Yudam Idrisham.
Yadruchaya Chopapannam
Swargadwaram Apavrutam
Sukhina Kshatriya Partha
Labhante Yudam Idrisham.
Ladies.
Yadruchaya Chopapannam
Yajichaya, by its own accord. Cha, also. Upapanam, arrived at. Swarga, of the heavenly planet. Dwaram, door. Apavritam, wide open. Sukhinah, very happy. Kshatriya, the members of the royal order. Parta, the son of Prita. Labhante, do achieve. Yajicham, yudam. War. Yudisham, like this. Translation. O Parta, happy are the Kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. Purport by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As Supreme Teacher of the world, Lord Krishna condemns the attitude of Arjuna, who said, I do not find any good in this fighting. It will cause perpetual habitation in hell. Such statements by Arjuna are due to ignorance only. He wanted to become non-violent in the discharge of his specific duty. For a Kshatriya to be on the battlefield and to become non-violent is the philosophy of fools. In the Parashara Smriti, or religious codes made by Parashara, the great sage and father of Vyasadeva, it is said, Kshatriyohi Praja Rakshan, Shastrapani Pradanayan, Nirjitya Pada Sainyad, Chittim Dharmena Palayet. The Kshatriya's duty is to protect the citizens from all kinds of difficulties, and for that reason, he has to apply violence in suitable cases for law and order. Therefore, he has to conquer the soldiers of inimical kings, and thus, with religious principles, he should rule over the world. Considering all aspects, Arjuna had no reason to refrain from fighting. If he should conquer his enemies, he would enjoy the kingdom, and if he should die in the battle, he would be elevated to the heavenly planets, whose doors were wide open to him. Fighting would be for his benefit in either case. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakya Shakshura Milita Nyena Tasmai Shri Guruvedi Shri Chaitanya Manovisham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Adati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Krishna Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tushena Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishwabhanam Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Mukham Karoti Vachamam Pangam Mangaya Tegrim Tat Kripa Samaham Bande Shri Guru Nina Sarani. Okay, thank you for
having introduction.
Huh?
No. Krishna, this is our 16th fortune today.
that we have with us, the blessed association of Shri Kavichandra Maharaj.
Say something that will help everybody. This verse is interesting. This first word, Yajichchaya, means comes automatically. It's another place in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 4, verse 22. Yajichcha lava santushto. You know that one? Dvandvatita vivacharaha samak sado visidoham kritvapina labad. Out of its own accord. He was satisfied with gain, which comes of its own accord, and who is free from duality and does not envy, is steady. So that's the description of devotee. That's also in the Bhagavatam in many places. But satisfied with whatever comes about automatically, not madly striving to get more, like is being advertised all over here. Luxury, epitome of luxury, right? So many signboards, and it's just a beautiful woman sitting there. Like that comes with the apartment, right? Is it?
Yeah.
They have some apartments in Bangkok. They're very expensive, and if you buy it, you get a free BMW. But it costs like, you know, $500,000 or something. And you're probably paying much more for the BMW than otherwise. So he's telling Arjuna, Kshatriya should be happy. Kshatriyas like to fight. That's their, you know, it's pleasurable for like Bhima. Described in the Mahabharata, when the Kshatriya get cut and they see their own blood, you know, they get enlivened. When Bhima would see many elephants attacking him, he'd get happy. Chance to really fight. Or like that Banasura, was it? You know, he got the benediction, then he was complaining there was nobody to fight with. He was too powerful. He had the 500 arms, and he complained that this is how the demons, they get a benediction, and then they complain about it. So he's telling Arjuna, you should be happy. You have a chance to fight. It's not, you know, that you're lamenting, and many times Krishna's saying you're being foolish. Not want to fight. Arjuna had many excuses, which are, you know, according to Shastra, according to social. But here, Krishna wants to fight. You know, the battle of Kurukshetra was Krishna's desire. The Pandavas, even Yudhisthira and Arjuna, both were trying to avoid it, you know, for various reasons. But here, the Kshatriya, when the other army is challenging him and they're right there, ready to fight, then he should be very happy. That's the point. For us, it's if we get a chance to preach, if somebody asks us about Krishna, we should be happy. Sometimes we think, oh, you know, what's going on here? Somebody has a lot of questions. I wanted to check my email or something. But devotees are happy when they get a chance to preach or a chance to chant or do any joint kirtan or anything. We seek it out, but sometimes it just comes. People just ask us, what are you doing? What is Krishna all about? Should be looking for those opportunities. You know, how can I? People want to know. Prabhupada said that people are suffering so much and they're so busy working, you know, trying to get, but they're deep down, they're really waiting. When are the devotees of Lord Chaitanya going to come and tell me about Lord Chaitanya, wake us up? But they're so busy, covered over, working for the ultimate epitome of luxury. You know what epitome means, right? Topmost, highest thing. But what is the good of luxury when you get sick? Right? Luxury, whatever luxury is, it's just a headache, actually. But somehow people are thinking that I've seen ads beyond luxury. You know, this car, this apartment, this bed. You know, some beds cost, mattress cost $5,000. Supposed to be able to sleep better. I saw that Rathiyatra in Delhi one time, we passed the Ananda mattress shop. And it says 8 hours of bliss. So that's they're so miserable that they think to get 8 hours of sleep uninterrupted is bliss. That's Ananda. They have no idea what Ananda is. The word gets thrown around quite cheaply. But Bhagavad Gita can help us to connect with Krishna. Krishna is a Paramananda. Nityananda in that song he's saying, or Narottam is saying, Nityananda, you're always happy, you know, because you're always in Krishna. But I'm unhappy. But if I can get close to you, then I can become happy. If we can get close to Krishna, Krishna is Paramananda. So we get, like the example Prabhupada gives so many times, that if you put the iron in the fire, it gradually becomes red hot, and if you take it out, flames are coming for a little while, right? It'll burn anything. It can start fires with it. So if we get in the fire of association with devotees and connect with Krishna, then we become like Krishna. Ananda, not Paramananda. Happy, not happy, but because that happiness, sukhi dukhi, that is all relative. Right? Like Einstein has a theory of relativity. He explained it once. He said, it's just like if you're sitting with your girlfriend, then time flies by very fast. And if you're sitting in a hot iron, then it seems like it's never going to end. It's relative. All the happiness and distress in the mature world is just relative. I'm happy because I got the air condition on now and I'm not hot. I was hungry, now I got some food, now I'm happy. But it doesn't last, can't last. You're going to get hungry again. But they think that's all right because I can get more food. So there's thirst and hunger, there's sex desire, these are pushings, these are miseries of the material world, actually. But everyone's thinking it's pleasure. I get hungry, but some people get hungry, they don't find food, many people. But nowadays, you know, we have some money, as soon as you get hungry, you can eat. People eat constantly, right? There's restaurants everywhere. You can call up and get delivery. But then they get sick from eating, but they think that's all right. They have lots of hospitals, lots of medicine. But there's more sickness. I heard one Japanese singer, he was complaining about the nuclear thing, and then he said, you can buy a bed, but you can't buy sleep. You can buy a watch, but you can't buy time. You can buy, I don't know if they have here, like, in Hong Kong, right by our temple, you go around the corner and there's nothing but watch shops. And, you know, the prices are just phenomenal. But it's still, you know, it's the same as your Casio. Same time comes on it. And you don't get any more time in your life. You know, time is Krishna. You don't get Krishna, you don't really get time. But we can get Krishna by chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
We can cut the ignorance, the knot, you know, in the heart with the sword of knowledge, and Prabhupada said that is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the sword. The knots in the heart are, you know, so tangled up like a big knot that you can't untie sometimes. Right? You had that experience? In your hair or something? It happened to me a few times. So you have to cut it. There's a story in that, I think from England, of the King Arthur or something. Gordian knot. So there was some big knot, and they said whoever could open that knot would be the next king. And so many people tried and tried, and then he came along and cut it in half and said, okay. He's got the smart. He said, well, anybody could have done that. But no one thought of it. Right? You know Columbus? Columbus Day was last week, I think. October 12th. It used to be a big holiday in America. Now practically nobody knows who was Columbus. But he supposedly discovered America. You know where he was trying to find?
Yeah.
He was trying to find India, because India, they knew, was full of wealth, and going overland was very difficult. Still is. So he had the idea, if you go by boat, you'll get to India. And everyone else thought you'd fall off. So finally someone financed him, the Queen of Spain, and he got to some land after a long time, and he thought it was India. That's why it's called the West Indies, and they called the people Indians. And that was right at the time of Lord Chaitanya, 1492. Columbus sailed the ocean blue. So anyway, somebody had a contest to see if you could make an egg stand on end. So Columbus cracked the egg a little, and they said, well, anyone could do that. He said, no one thought of it. But he had that type of vision. Prabhupada's godbrothers said, well, anyone could have done that, you know, but they didn't do it. They didn't go to America. They didn't cross the ocean. You know, I don't know where that comes from, where they say sannyasi shouldn't cross the ocean. Prabhupada was on the radio show in the early time, and the announcer must have done some research. So he said, but a sannyasi is not supposed to cross the ocean. And Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya said, Kirtivite Nagaradigam Sarvatoi Prahoboy. He said he knew I was coming. Every town and village, not just in Navadvipa, but in India village, the whole world. Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya knew I was coming. So he did that, but no one else would do it. Now they follow in his footsteps and try to take credit, but Prabhupada did it. And he translated the Bhagavad Gita and purported the Bhagavad Gita so we can understand it. Otherwise, people can't understand it. They're not going to know, you know, what the Bhagavad Gita is all about without Prabhupada's purport, or especially Srimad Bhagavatam. But he made it accessible to everyone, and now in so many languages. But he started out with English, because as his guru told him, you preach to the English-speaking people. They're dominating the world, actually, so that's why. Now, and you see English is spoken everywhere. I figure it's Lord Chaitanya's arrangement. The British, you know, they went everywhere, and if you didn't speak English, they wouldn't do business. You know. So everywhere you find somebody that speaks English. Americans did the same thing. So everywhere Prabhupada went, he could find somebody that he could preach to, and they could start translating, so he could get the books. And now there's Bhagavad Gita, we see in Chopadi. That's not all of them, but over 100 languages, and distributed it profusely in all those languages to help us understand. Not that we're Kshatriyas, but Kshatriyas like to fight. They're warriors. We have to be able to fight. So he's telling Arjuna, why are you talking like this? This is sentimental. You're foolish. Due to ignorance, of course, we understand Arjuna was not exactly really ignorant. He knew Krishna and he was completely surrendered, but he was covered over by Krishna, so that, you know, to make this scene so the Bhagavad Gita could be presented, and it's very, you know, nice. And Bhagavatam says that the purpose, the Mahabharata, you know, there's still a big book, and the Bhagavad Gita is one little tiny chapter or a few chapters. But that's the purpose of the Mahabharata, is to get people to read the Bhagavad Gita. Because, you know, you're like, it's so fascinating, all this intrigue and politics and wars and, you know, different things going on. And all of a sudden, just before the war, you know, everybody's waiting for the war, right? And then comes the Bhagavad Gita, so they have to read it. And they don't skip over to get to the fighting. They think, oh, it's not going to happen, and what's going to happen? Duryodhan saw Arjuna get down and thought, ah, he's afraid of me and he's not going to fight now. You know, my army looks too powerful, so I win without even fighting. But actually Arjuna was, that wasn't the reason. He knew he would win, that's why he didn't want to fight. He knew he would win and that the result would be that so many men were killed and then all the women would be left without husbands, without sons, without fathers, brothers. So he thought that would be no good. That's why he was hesitating. But Krishna wanted that for many reasons. So here we have Parashara Muni saying also, Kshatriyas like to fight. So we like to preach and we like to hear about Krishna. And just say a little more about Narottam Das Thakur. His birth was auspicious, of course. He was exceptionally beautiful and exceptionally intelligent. He learned Sanskrit. He learned everything really fast. People thought he must be a demigod or something. And he was never attached to the house. His father was a king, but he always wanted to leave and be with Lord Chaitanya. Must have heard about Lord Chaitanya. So finally he left home. He wasn't able to meet Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya came to him and he was thinking of suicide because he missed Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya came and said, no, I need you. You're going to make this special kirtan. It's going to charm the whole world. So he carried on. Same thing when he couldn't find Rupa and Sanatan. They came to him. You know, like that. At one point when Lord Chaitanya traveled, there was a lake. And he was calling out, Narottam, Narottam, and nobody knew who was Narottam. Then he went and took a bath in that lake and he said, I've deposited my prema here. And when Narottam comes, give it to him. So when Narottam was traveling to Vrindavan, he took bath there and he came out like golden, effulgent, changed his body like change. Everybody that saw him was reminded of Lord Chaitanya, and then those who were feeling so much separation from Lord Chaitanya, most of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they just died. They just stopped eating and sleeping and just cried all the time and grew old very fast after Lord Chaitanya met. And Gadadhar Pandit, most of the associates, they were just leaving one after another. Everybody was anxious to get their association. So then he was studying under Jiva Goswami after he was initiated by Lokanath Goswami. And he and Srinivas and Shamananda, they were very close friends and they were all brilliant scholars and brilliant in every way, loved by everyone. Then they were assigned to take the books of the Goswamis to Bengal and spread the teachings of the six Goswamis there. And when they were leaving Vrindavan, everybody was crying. They loved them so much. So they took, and there's a whole story how the books were lost, but finally Narottam, he made thousands or I don't know how, you know, so many disciples. And his father was a king, so he was actually Sudra by, you know, however they judge, by birth. So Brahmanas were getting upset because many Brahmanas were taking initiation from him and they thought this is really adharmic, you know. He's not a Brahman, how can he initiate Brahmins? So they made a plan to smash him. And they talked to one king, inimical king, and some of the greatest scholars, they were traveling to Keturi to, they thought they would debate with Narottam and defeat him, put him out of business. So two of his Brahmin disciples, they heard about this plot. So this party was stopped in one village. So they went to that village and disguised themselves. One was a panwaller and one was a shoemaker, not very high class, right? Considered very low class occupation. So when these brahmanas went in the town to shopping, you know, they called them over in Sanskrit. So they were shocked. It was just a Panwala speaking Sanskrit, you know. And then they started debating with them. And they completely smashed them. Bewildered these brahmanas with so much scholarship they had. So they said, "Who are you anyway?" And they said, "Well, we're just humble disciples of Narottam." So they thought, "Uh-oh, we better not go to him, because if the disciples are like this, you know." Like Lokanath Swami said, when he met the devotees, he thought, "Well, if the disciples are like this, then their guru must be really something special, you know. I got to meet him." So they got afraid, and they went back to the king and said, "We better not, you know." But the king somehow, I don't know how it happened, he got enlivened and he went to Narottam to apologize or something. And they ended up all getting initiated by him. And then he organized, you know, he organized that first Gaur Purnima festival. That was after all the associates of Lord Chaitanya were gone at his place. And they started, you know, they wanted to honor that Gaur Purnima day, and they started inviting people. They were inviting first just the very, you know, intimate devotees, but gradually everyone heard about it. Every Vaishnava from far away, everybody was coming. And his father was the king. He was arranging for everybody, houses for everybody, and prasadam for everybody. And there was installation of deities that Narottam had been told to initiate specifically by Lord Chaitanya. He even had the names of the deities. It was Radha Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. I don't remember exactly. And one of the deities of Lord Chaitanya, he said, was stored away in one rich rice merchant. He had a big house full of rice. And the deity was buried in there. And he was saying, "Come and get me out." And so when he went, nobody would ever go near that place because it was full of snakes, poisonous snakes. So when he was going there, the merchant was trying to stop him. You know? Not that he was afraid of his rice, but he was afraid for Narottam, the snakes. Narottam just went right in there. All the snakes ran away. He dug out this murti of Lord Chaitanya, brought him back. Srinivas did the insulation. They did it, not a 3-day big thing, they did it pretty fast, but installed all these deities. And then gradually the kirtan started with Narottam kirtan with many different instruments and drums and his very beautiful singing. And gradually it just got more and more ecstatic and later at night. And everybody was in ecstasy, and suddenly the whole Panchatattva appeared. And also other associates of Lord Chaitanya just were dancing in the middle of the kirtan. And everybody could see them. And everybody had their relationship with Lord Chaitanya. Devotees from Navadvipa were seeing him in Navadvipa Leela, and others, you know, that had seen him only as a sannyasi, they saw him as a sannyasi. And it was just ecstatic when very late into the night. And then it says, by the will of the Lord, the kirtan stopped. And everybody took rest. So Narottam, he spent most of his time staying there in Kaituri and just writing his, we know so many books he wrote, Prarthana, and maybe you know the names. There's so many songs in the songbook, Narottam. You know, we could research, but just to read all the names of them, you get tired. So this one, you know, then there's the Jaya Nilo Prema Dana we always sing on disappearance days. He's feeling such intense separation because, like I said, he tried to meet all these devotees and he missed them. And they would lament, you know, why I couldn't be born at the time of Lord Chaitanya. Even Vrindavan Das Thakur was lamenting that. Intense feelings of separation, but they carried on. Then Hare Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. That's also, Lord Chaitanya said, if you want to chant the name of God, you can chant this Haraya Nama Krishna Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopal Govindaram Shimadu Sudan. Lord Chaitanya would chant that a lot. So he took the first line and he made that whole song. And he took the two lines, but he made the extra verses, and you know, all through the six Goswamis and how we have to get association of the devotees. Everything is in that line. Very simple, but teaching us exactly, you know, what is Krishna consciousness all about, and you know, Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Sushitala, that the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are cooling like millions of moons. Compared to the sun and the moon, Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda's Akrodha Paramananda. And he also says, interesting, that if you want to enter, get the mercy of Radha and Krishna, you want to worship Radha and Krishna, you have to go through living Nityananda. You have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Many people don't realize that. You want to jump directly to Radha Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna. Nityananda is his intimate associate. And even at Mayapur, they asked Prabhupada, well, then Radha Madhava will be in the middle, and Prabhupada said, three altars. He said, no. Lord Chaitanya, Panchatat was in the middle, and Radha Madhava was on the next. It's first from the Parampara, we get the mercy, we get to connect with Lord Chaitanya, with the Panchatattva. By the mercy of the Panchatattva, we get Radha Madhava. That's interesting. Some people don't understand that. Many people can't understand Prabhupada's, you know, vision of how things should be. So we can pray to Lord to Narottam Das Thakur. These disappearance days are days for remembering these great personalities, their pastimes and their teachings. Here we have so much of his, there's even a book, Narottam Vilas, and that's describing all, so much of his life and all, how he preached to different people and how he made them devotees. I didn't study up to date or remember all the details, but, you know, Brahmin boys who were, you know, supposed to be Shaivites, and they met even a disciple of Narottam. They became Vaishnavas. And then their father, you know, got very upset, tried to convince them that they defeated him completely. This young boy, so many disciples he made. His specialty was his bhajan, his singing. But of course he could preach Bhagavatam perfectly, but he mostly expressed it in his songs. So we have so many songs, and we should study them regularly. Prabhupada so often quoted Narottam Das Thakur. Many of the songs he gave us, you know, to sing regularly. Shri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati. Everyone sings that every day. I don't know if we know the meaning. One time Prabhupada said, do you know the meaning? And everybody was like, and he was very angry. You're singing every day, but you don't know what you're saying. Like Shari Ravi Jajal. That's Bhakti Vinod. But everywhere I go, you know, the devotees sit down for prasadam in China, Japan, Africa, no matter where you go. Shari Ravi Jajal, everybody's got it down. Can you say it in your language? We don't have the book. Where's the book? Many never heard it before. They never heard the translation. So we should not only sing the songs, and unless you know the language, otherwise we need to read the translations, you know, understand what it's all about. Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada translated. We don't just chant it. We chant the Sanskrit, but not only that. And we have purport. The Prabhupada purported Narottam Thakur, like that song, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jaya. Prabhupada gave an explanation. Quite a few of his Nitai Padakama also. This is a very nice song by Narottam Das Thakur. And he gave a purport, just expanding on it, letting us know what it's all about. But it's all about surrendering to Krishna. That's the whole thing. Like Arjuna had to surrender to Krishna. Krishna told him to fight, so he's arguing. But that's so that Krishna could speak Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, you know, why would he bother to speak it? If Arjuna just would have gone right out and killed everybody. But this should show us the process and give us the entire Bhagavad Gita. And then at the end, Arjuna says, okay, whatever you say, I'll do it. Krishna still gave him freedom also. He said, what, you know, Yateshasi Tathakuru. Now I've told you everything. What do you want to do? You do whatever you want. Right? He didn't say, now I'm God and you better do what I tell you, you know, and if you don't do what I tell you, I'm going to, you know, annihilate you. Like some people, many Christians have that idea of God. They haven't read very carefully their Bible. They think that's the way God is, you know. And that's why the atheists, they don't like God. They've heard that, you know, he's just angry and he just kills the sinners and, you know, anyone who doesn't bow down. But Krishna says you can do whatever you want. But you're going to get the reaction. So give up the karma, take the dharma, give up karma. We had a very nice drama the other day. Bhakti Marg Swami, we made a summary of the Bhagavad Gita. A little poetic, and he had Arjuna, and he just went through it like that very quickly, 25 minutes, but very moving, very good drama for everybody to learn. But that the Bhagavad Gita is unlimited. We can talk one verse, we can go through the whole book, we can go with the same thing over and over again every day, one verse, and it just opens up and gets better and better and better. People might say, well, what's spiritual about this fighting and war and everything? Why would God want to make war? We were in China in the train station. Some one devotee talking to this new devotee girl. Long time he was talking, so I said, what are you talking about? You have some questions? She said, well, she thinks that Lord Nisringadev shouldn't have killed Hiranyakasipu. Not nice to kill. So I, you know, we tried to explain to her, you know, how bad Hiranyakasipu was doing so many terrible things. She said, well, he should have asked him to stop doing it. But he tried, you know, but he won't listen. Duryodhana's not going to listen. Because he was so puffed up and he thought, you know, I have Bhishma and they got nothing over there. And he had 12 Akshahinis and Yudhisthira only had 7. So 11 and 7 is quite a big difference. 50% bigger army with Bhishma and Drona. So he was so puffed up and he wanted everything. He couldn't tolerate the idea that Yudhisthira would have anything. But even Yudhisthira and Arjuna were both willing, okay, let them have it. They're greedy, they're crazy. Let them have it, we'll just go in the forest. Krishna said, no way, you fight. Because he wanted that war for many reasons. Somebody was just asking me today. Part of it was to make way for Kali Yuga, you know, get rid of all these really powerful kings and big demons that were on the planet. So that battle was arranged to finish off all that. Kali Yuga could get a start. So whatever comes automatically, yajitcha, labha, santushto, whatever we get, should be happy. Not complaining, well, somebody else got a bigger apartment, someone else got a bigger car, right? Happy with what you get. Success means, like the advertisements, success means you get what you want. I think now in Bombay a few years ago, cigarette advertising was just everywhere. Remember? It was horrible. If we went from Chopati to Juhu, it was just everywhere you looked, cigarettes, small ones, big ones, all the way across four-lane roads. And one was an executive sitting in his office, wheels, I think, is, I get what I want. No, because of the cigarette. But then the next year I came, they banned it. And I mentioned that in class, and somebody said, why don't we do that? Why don't we have 10,000 Hare Krishna signboards along the road, right? Good question. Why don't we have them? It'd be nice. It used to be here, you know, what? Every city in India was, you know, Tata, 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 or Airtel, Airtel, Airtel. I don't see that anymore. Every line, every lamppost. And so with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, it'd be very powerful. Everybody be chanting. But success means you get what you want, you know. Everyone has their list. You know, when I don't think you have Santa Claus here. Santa Claus is like the super soul. Or the American version. So if you're good, he'll bring you lots of presents at Christmas time. So they use that on the kids. You better be good. Otherwise, you're not going to get anything. And then you make a list of all the things you want, you know, when you write a letter to Santa Claus. In the department store, they have a big Santa land, and you sit on his lap, and what do you want, sonny? Well, I want, you know, a new bicycle, and I want this and that. All right, have you been good? They even have a song, you know. He knows when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake, he knows if you're good, he knows if you're bad, so you better be good. It's a super soul. But they don't believe in God, but they want the kids to believe in that. So, you know, they're teaching us from childhood, what do you want, you know, and then you got to work hard to get it. As you get older, you can't just have Santa Claus, then you have to work hard. And then you'll get everything. But happiness means you want what you get. You know, whatever you get, you think, okay, great. This is what Krishna gave me. This is what I deserve. I'm, you know, no problem. And there's many people like that. And they're criticizing, you know, what a simpleton you are. When that, you know, the verse in Bhagavad Gita, you know the Sanskrit? What time of awakening for the conditioned soul?
Yatyam Jagrati Bhutani. Yatyam Jagrati Bhutani.
Yeah. So, Hari Vilas Prabhu, when he had been reading that, and he was new to Bhagavad Gita, so when Prabhupada came, he asked Prabhupada, what does that mean? And Prabhupada said, that means when they see us, they laugh. Ah, look at him, he's not working hard. He doesn't want to drink whiskey and party all the time. He's just a fool, you know. He's happy. Know that there's so much more to be gained in the material world. He said, and when we see them, we laugh. Look at them working so hard, and they're never happy. They just, no matter what they get, they want more. Right? So we should be like that. For no matter how much service we get, we want more. No matter how much chance to preach, we want more. No matter how much we chant it, we want more. No matter how, you know, no matter how many times we've been to Vrindavan, we want more. You're probably, most of you, headed for Vrindavan soon. Interesting, at Chinese, they never say, I'm going to Vrindavan or Mayapur. They never say, I'm going to Mayapur. They say, I'm going to the Holy Dham. They always say that. They never say, I'm going to Vrindavan, I'm going to India. They have some awareness, you know, going to the Holy Dham. Good consciousness, because that's what it is. But anywhere where anybody's gathered together to chant the holy name, to worship the deity, that's also the Holy Dham. It's not only there, of course, that's special. We want to go there, but we want to be everywhere. Prabhupada left Vrindavan. He was settled. He was old. Nobody thought. They were, why do you want to go? Why do you want to leave Vrindavan? You know, you're 70 years old. Everybody coming to Vrindavan to die. But Prabhupada wanted to go to New York. And when the very first lectures in New York, he said, you think I'm in New York. said, but I'm not in New York. I am in Vrindavan. Nobody ever heard of Vrindavan either. You know, they kind of heard of India, that everybody's poor and they're all starving and they're all crazy because they believe in reincarnation. That's what, that was what we were taught. You know, Indians are abject poverty and completely stupid because they don't kill the cows and they let the cows wander and everybody's starving and the cows are walking around and they're just stupid. That was general teaching. But Prabhupada straightened everybody out. Some people knew better. They knew something about India, something mystical and better. You know, we had Ravi Shankar and something was happening. And but Prabhupada, you know, he gave the Bhagavad Gita, constantly giving it. So he made many, many new Vrindavan, but everywhere, the Holy Dham, wherever we're gathered together, Pune became the Holy Dham. Especially now with this big temple. We need more and more preachers. Radhisham said they have a big problem that they get more invitations to come and speak than they have preachers. And so many devotees. I wish we had that problem in other countries. In some countries, it's nobody wants you. You just have to impose yourself on people. Just go out and chant in the street and, you know, hope maybe one person might notice, like in Japan. And a few people do notice out of manusia, out of many millions there, and that, you know, inconceivable numbers of people just flowing by and rushing by in a hurry. The first Japanese words I learned was Jikanga 9. Anybody know Japanese? I don't have time. No time. Jikan means time. And nine means no. And the other was Isoidema. I'm in a hurry. And sometimes I'd say, "What? Where are you in such a hurry?" I don't know. But I'm Japanese. I have to be in a hurry. I can't stop anybody. If I'm not in a hurry, they'll think I'm not Japanese. And nobody will like me. You know, very hard. But few people somehow, you know, somehow the super soul always brings someone. But here, India now is different. You know, it wasn't like in Prabhupada's day. Hardly any Indians ever became devotees. The life members, they gave money. But they even told Giriraj, if you want brahmacharis, don't come to our sons. Get an orphan. Go to the orphanage. We'll give you money, but don't touch our sons. But now, you know, they're just flooding in. Something has changed because of the profuse distribution of Bhagavad Gita all over the world. It's affected the whole world. And the Indians now, and like Prabhupada said, even, you know, one Indian did so much, so others should be going, just like you're going everywhere for business. I've never been anywhere in the world where there weren't Indians doing business. And they're experts. Wherever they go, they learn the language. They manage to function and, you know, make a little temple or something. So devotees need to do the same thing for Krishna. Go and all over the world and, you know, save the world. You know, it's going to hell quick. So many problems, but there's no solution except elevating the consciousness of the people. And that the only thing that can do that is Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and Harinam, Prasadam. So India is blessed at the moment, flourishing economically also. Nobody will believe now that India is a poor country. Now they're envious, Indians, Americans are envious. The Indians in America, 36% of doctors are Indian. The population is less than 4% of the population. That's very weird. 25% of Microsoft Indian. 13% of scientists. Some NASA, even 13 or 15% is Indian. They have the highest average education, the highest average income, so many things. So now people are envious. If you sit in any hospital, Dr. Patel, come to this. But that's Krishna's mercy, because they're helping, you know, to spread Krishna consciousness. England, America, all these places. That we need to, you know, there's millions of people just waiting for devotees to come. In India also, most of the people are just trying to get the big apartment, right? The newest tower, the most prestigious, so the advertising is so crazy. And the bigger television. All these things that just make them more miserable, actually. So, but if they get Krishna, then they can utilize everything in Krishna's service. Then you can use your house for satsang. And so then it's all right, your house is a temple. And it's no matter, you can have, you know, you can have Mr. Ambani's house. You know. Maybe he'll give that to devotees if he doesn't use it. What is it, $1 billion house? $2 billion, nobody knows. It's empty. There's some servants. It should be given. I don't know what we do with it. I guess we could think of something. At least people would come just to see it. You could have kirtan. All right. So Narottam Das Thakur ki jai. And you're singing his songs every day anyway. We should remember and we should know what the meaning is. He said, take me first. You can look all over the world, but you'll never find anyone more fallen than me. You're the savior, Patit Pavan, so take me. And of course, Lord Chaitanya did. He was dear to Lord Chaitanya. And he was empowered to give us so much nectar. All right, any questions?
One person asked me that Bhagavad Gita, you say it is part of Shruti, and but we call it Bhagavad Gita as Upanishad, one of the Upanishad, but it comes as a part of Mahabharata, which is a Smriti part. So how can it be accepted as part of Shruti?
I never heard of it. We always call it Smriti.
It's
called like Gita Upanishad, but it, because Krishna spoke it, you know, but it's, yeah, Krishna spoke it, so what, how can it be not, you know.
Those people who do not accept Puranas or Smriti, they have difficulty in, you know, accepting Bhagavad Gita.
Well, that's too bad for them. What do they accept?
They
read the Vedas. If they were capable, that's why, like, you know, that we have nectar, the Goswamis, Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipano Saddharma Samstapako Lokanamitakara. They scrutinizingly studied. They actually had intelligence to study the Vedas and find where it says Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and bhakti. Because a normal person, even if they could read the Vedas, none of these people can read the Vedas, but Krishna says Vedaisa Sarvaya Rama Vedyam Vedanta Vid Vedakadevakshaham. If they don't want to believe that, what, you know, there has to be some kind of faith in Krishna. People are, you know, they're just blockheads, actually. Upanishad, the Mahabharata is considered the fifth Veda. You know, Vyasadeva wrote it. He also wrote the Vedas, right? And in Kali Yuga, it's more important than the Vedas, according to the Mahabharata. But if they don't want to accept it, then they don't accept Vyasadeva, so they should not accept the Vedas either. Because their only access to the Vedas is what Vyasadeva gave them. right? So they probably won't like the, they don't, usually those kind of people, they just, you know, they're not, I don't know what they are, they may be just, you know, sinful people, or they may just be so puffed up, you know. But Shuti, Shmiti, Puranadi, Ancharachi, you know, they all go together. But Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, and the Vedas do say that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. We have many, many quotes, and especially in Next Devotion, you know, where it's picked out how it says, you know, in the Vedas, this Veda, that Veda, Krishna, Gopal, these are the original person, Lord Brahma. Right? Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. It's original. But there has to be some kind of faith, but some people just can't accept it. For some people it's not worth it to, you know, try to convince them, because they just get angry. Especially if you have logic that they can't deal with, then they get very angry. It's Kali Yuga, they're not going to surrender like people used to do. Right? And it used to be that if somebody defeated someone in debate, that they, like the Digvijay Pandit, he surrendered, he gave up his whole position, became a sannyasi after Lord Chaitanya defeated him. But nowadays people, it's like Balaram and Rukma, right? Rukmi, you know, they were playing their chess game and Balaram won. And he said, no, Balaram didn't win, I won. You know, even the voice came from heaven and said, Balaram won, and no, I won. So they're like that. They won't accept anything. Especially if you defeat them, then they just become really angry. And then they'll say, well, I didn't say, whatever you defeated, they say, I didn't really say that, I said something different. Better to just, you know, hopefully they'll eat prasadam, or maybe they can join a kirtan or something. These people need to get purified. And they won't get purified by argument. They'll get purified by kirtan, they'll get purified by prasadam. They don't want to surrender. What do they think is the, what do they think the Vedas say is supreme? And ask them, and they probably don't, I don't know. How much of the Vedas have you read? You know, since Lord Brahma read all the Vedas 3 times, and what was his conclusion?
Hare.
You know the whole verse?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Iti sodasakam nam nam.
Say it louder. Iti sodasakam nam nam.
Kali kalmasha nashanam. Natar partar upaya sarva vedeshu drishyate.
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.